Corinthians 5. And that's actually the message I have here. I thank the Lord. I never thought I'd say this, but I thank the Lord for having a tablet, a digital thing, because I can't tell you how many times I thought about bringing a bunch of papers and had to flip through those papers, and this, I can just type in a word and there's the document. Amen. That's a blessing. But 2 Corinthians 5, just verses 1 and 2, some of you probably have this written in your Bible. The Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether we present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you've seen the service, you've heard the songs. You know, Lord, what I studied and what I read and what I looked after. And I also know, Lord, what you've placed in my heart. And so, Lord, I pray that as I speak tonight, that I'll help your people. And Lord, that it'll help me as well. Have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old song. It says, "A city where no twilight shadows darken, unending days where night will never come. A city where no storm clouds will be gathered. This is just what heaven means to me." And I want to give you just a couple of things and might not even get to preaching too hard. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord wants. Is that okay with y'all? I hope so, because that's what I'm going to do. The first thing I want you to remember about heaven, it's a land of unimaginable beauty and splendor. Amen? This is the home of the redeemed. Why can't we talk about heaven? This is where we're going. I mean, I think we lose sight with the world and we see all of these things, but this is where we're going when we die. This is not just chance. This is not maybe so. This is a no-so thing. This is what we're going to see. So much so that Paul, in 1 Corinthians, instead of 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Not only is that for living down here, the things that God has given to us, but it's also for what we will see when we step over into that promised land. Amen? Moses had to stay out of the promised land because of something that he had done. And we know that, and we know that story. But you and I have something that Moses did not have the privilege of knowing, the grace of God. Amen. And so even though we have done things as Moses did, we're not just going to get to look into the promised land. We're going to get to enter into the promised land. Not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That's why we can say that neither's entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Thank God for that. Isaiah 64 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him." God has so much more than what we can imagine that's waiting on us to get there. Amen. I'm excited about that. I'm thankful for that we have this privilege to go where the Lord has given to us. I don't have my place marked, so I'm gonna turn there, amen, to Revelation chapter number 21. Y'all not afraid of the book of the Revelation, are you? I sure hope not. It's the only book in the Bible that has a special blessing affixed to it for those who read it and understand it. Amen. Revelation 21, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John," the same John that we've been preaching, "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." That's us. Amen. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." The last time that we read about the glory of God in the Bible was in 2 Kings chapter number 8, and it got so good and so thick in that time that the priest couldn't even go into the house of God because the glory of God was so great. Amen. And this is going to be a city that has the glory of God on it. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And he carried him away, and he saw the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gate, on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. In case you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm reading about heaven, glory to God, a place we've not seen before. The Bible says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was a jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. There'll be no night evermore. There'll never be another dusk that'll fall on that place over there. There'll never be a scary night. Shadows will never grow over there. The light will always be in glory land. Amen. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written, watch this, in the Lamb's book of life. That's the difference, friend of mine, is whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what heaven is, and heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. I've never seen streets of gold. The things we call precious metal, heaven calls pavement. Amen. I've never seen a tree whose fruit is life. I've never seen a crystal sea like unto glass. I've never seen walls of jasper, gates of pearl, or anything that has a foundation made with any precious stone. But some golden daybreak, I'll wake up in glory and I will see them for myself. Not just those things, but I'll see Jesus, the light thereof. This is what heaven means to me. Maybe I am going to preach a little bit tonight. It's a land of unimaginable beauty and splendor. And I just read you the description from the Bible. Remember this morning I said you can't have too much Bible. I read you a whole chapter of the Bible that don't do nothing but describe heaven. Amen. Where my words fail and are insufficient, God's word is plenty sufficient. It's a home of glad reunions. It's a home of glad reunions. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 9 and 10 says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Thank God that which is in part will one day be put back together. How many of you got somebody on the other side? And when they left, part of you went with them. And you in part now, and you just kind of flounder around, and I get it, I understand. There's part of you is over there, but one of these days, that which is in part is going to be put back together. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:12 said, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am, also I am known." 1 Corinthians 15 verses 19 through 22 said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." If this is all there is, if this is all we've got to look forward to, we're miserable. But this ain't the end, praise God. There's more just over on the other side. And everything that's been divided, everything that's been taken apart, everything that's missing will be put back one glorious day. I've told this story before. I want to tell it again. Those things that's been in part for a long time, you think about in the days of World War II, when a mama would send her boys off, and they would go, and many times many of them wouldn't come back. They were gone. And that mama would never have the satisfaction of knowing whether or not they died with dignity. Y'all hear me? That does something to the psyche of an individual, knowing what happened to their loved one. You think about that little mama that day after day she stood on that porch waiting on that boy to come home. You think about that little lady that waited for the love of her life to come home, or whatever the case of the story might have been, and that part had been taken away by the torments and the war and the craziness of the earth. But one of these days, when that little mama steps out of this walk of life, or that little wife steps out of this walk of life, or that husband steps out of this walk of life, and they look across the shores of Jordan's River, and they see standing over on the other side their loved ones. Here's what I think we might see. We might see our loved ones, but I don't know if we're going to stand around and just chit-chat for a while like we do down here. I believe they might just do this. Come on, we got somebody we got to go see. I know you ain't been here yet, but I got somebody I want to show you. Amen? Come on, let's go. You better come on. I got somebody I want to show you. And as soon as we get, hey, there's Jesus. That's the one that died for us. That's the one that took everything that was in part and put it back together. I just believe it. Thank you. That's the only one. All of them kids that was there this morning are thanking the good Lord they are not there right now. I guess I should have came to this side. This thing done went off. Now I need to get my notes. There's a day of glad reunions coming. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, is what the Bible says, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 12 says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We don't have to mince words about this. Child of God, we're going to heaven someday, and everything that is wrong will be made right over there on that celestial shore. I don't have to mince words when it comes to going to heaven. It's a home of one incredible reunion and many glad reunions. There'll be, and this will be the last one, there'll be a meeting with our Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for we know, they're saying, wait a minute, you done used that scripture. It'll be all right, we'll use it again. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Then face to face. I don't have this marked either. But if you've done your chronological reading, you remember way back in January we read through the book of Job. It ain't the book of Job, guys. No matter what your brain tells you, it's the book of Job. And as soon as I find it, I want to read something to you out of it. Amen. In Job 19, the Bible says in verse number 21, have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Watch what Job says. Job, the reason we read it in January, we read Genesis, and Genesis is recording creation, amen? But you may or may not know this, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. That means it was written around the time of the start of Genesis, amen? Watch what old Job said as he's talking to his friends that, they was miserable counselors. They had told him all the wrong things he was doing. They had even tried to sound spiritual. One of them said, I saw a spirit path in front of my face. He even said that to him. And this man's going through all kinds of trouble and trials and heartache. And this is what old Job said. He said, hey, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. And then in verse number 25, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Even old Job knew that when this life was over, there was a meeting with his Redeemer, and he called him his Redeemer all those years ago. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I'll know him and he'll know me. They won't nobody have to tell me who Jesus is. They might lead me to him, but I'll know him when I see him. Amen. I'll know him by the prints in his hands. Amen. I'll know him because they'll be the one that they're singing around the throne. Glory, glory, glory. Lord God Almighty. Amen. It'll be the one that I'll see the seraphims fly and the cherubims fly across and say, holy, holy, holy. Amen. It'll be the one that I'll hear the elders say, glory to God. Amen. It will be him. It's in there. Read it. 1 John 3:2 said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We will see him as he is. What does he look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's found in Revelation 4. And we'll get to see him as he is. And it's pretty impressive what he is. The Bible says this in verse number 1 of Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. That ought to be a clue right there. Amen. I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. We done heard that somewhere here tonight, hadn't we? Amen. That just tells me heaven ain't changed. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We've heard that somewhere before, hadn't we? And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and they are and were created. Glory to God, that's who and what we're going to see. And I'll know him when I get over yonder. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time because it's a meeting with our Redeemer, the home of glad reunions, and a land of unimaginable beauty and splendor. I'm looking forward to going one day. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. We really get to go to heaven when we die. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus washed me white as snow. Not only does he give me abundant life down here, not only does he give me spiritual life down here, but he'll give me eternal life over yonder one day. One day, you may hear that Brother Josh has passed away. You may hear that this body has died, that my heart has stopped beating, that my lungs quit breathing. And they will say, Brother Josh is dead. Don't you believe it. I'll be more alive then than I've ever been before. I'll have more glory than I've ever known or ever seen. And I will one day, and that day, be around the throne with my Savior, and I'll be rejoicing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And like old S.M. Lockridge said, when you get to the end of the forevers, amen. That's what we have to look forward to. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day. I want to stroll over heaven with every one of you some glad day. Wouldn't it be something to look up and yonder comes some old preacher, helped you along the way? Yonder some loved one. That's after the first million years when you've worshiped Jesus. Man, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of heaven. Thank you for the promise. This is where we get to go. It's our home, Lord. It's what we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with. Lord, we're looking forward to the day. Father, I pray if there be anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know you and does not know that heaven is their home, Lord, that before they leave here tonight or before they turn off the sound of my voice, God, that they would find themselves with a repentant heart and they would put their faith and their trust in you, not in their works, Lord, not in their ability, not in whether or not they've kept the law, but in what you did on the cross of Calvary, Lord, and how that you gave your life for wretched sinners so that we could have eternal life someday in glory. Lord, have your will and your way. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?